A rocket flies through space, leaving a trail of light. Stars twinkle, then turn into numbers. Stars flash by in a blur. Letters are dotted around the sky, spelling out Studio Canal, a Canal Plus company. Three different coloured shapes made of a triangle at the head and a square at the back join together. The triangle turns blue, then the square turns green. An AFCO embassy film. AFCO Embassy Pictures, International Film Investors and Westcom Productions present a Daniel H. Blatt production. A slash of red tears through the black screen, then another and more still. They form the letter W. The letter moves backwards, revealing it's surrounded by other letters forming the words The Howling. The screen smashes.
Cheers, give me a two shot.
The screen flickers with blue light.
I just feel as if everything's out of my control.
Starring Dee Wallace, Patrick McNee.
I'm really on the beast.
I'm an animal head right there.
You know what did it?
Dennis Duggan.
The only way to look terrific.
Christopher Stone.
He understands all about the gift.
Recent string of fatal attacks.
Belinda Belaski.
This next one coming up is in the park.
Kevin McCarthy. John Carradine, Slim Pickens.
She's ours.
And introducing Elizabeth Brooks.
All right. Now with this build up, the public is dying to see her.
Killings were on a whole level.
It's real.
True, Felician, to the single of the doctor.
We've been waiting for you.
Dr. George Wagner explains on a special edition of Perspective.
Check it out.
We saw pictures just like we saw in Israel.
Humanity.
Dead.
Body.
It's a rare thing.
And I had to use it.
Oh, Karen, lost
control.
Must
have something for you.
Deep within
I'd like that, Eddie.
It is, after all,
to meet someone.
What we are.
Based on the novel by Gary Branner, A Man on TV.
Repression is the father of neurosis, of self-hatred.
A Man Watches.
Our stress results when we fight against our impulses.
The bleary-eyed man's in a darkened room. There are sketches and newspaper clippings on the wall.
The natural man, the noble savage. As if we'd lost something valuable in our long evolution into civilized human beings. Now, there's a good reason for this.
In the studio.
Man is a combination of the learned and the instinctive. The sophisticated and the primitive. We should never try to deny the beast, the animal within us.
The minute anything breaks, we cut to Chris's stuff.
Before Doc pitches his book.
Hell, he's been coaching Karen on how to talk to this psycho. He won't
come close.
The man on TV is Dr. George Wagner. A woman walks down a dark alley. There's a man at the end.
How much?
He blocks her path.
Eddie?
John. How much for a half and half?
Sorry, Betty. Excuse me.
John doesn't move.
Excuse me.
Hey. Hey, you're that TV lady, ain't you?
Yeah, buzz off.
Jesus.
In the studio.
Karen, see this?
Yeah.
They watch footage of a dead woman.
She never even mentioned seeing the victims.
She didn't want you to worry.
The mustachioed guy, Bill, looks down. The woman's corpse is taken away.
I'm worried.
Three guys lift the body on a stretcher. The blonde, curly-haired woman, Karen, goes into a phone box and spots a smiley face sticker. The guys listen in the studio control room.
Hey, guys. This is the jackpot. I'm on Western between Ivory and the transmitter sends any calls.
I don't like that interference. It's the best rig we got. Oh, no, no. It's all that neon out there. It messes up the signal. I'll get our people to cruise Western.
In a car.
Boy, there's a lot of flotsam and jetsam out tonight, isn't there?
Seems like there's more of them every time we get out here. I wonder where they come from, you know? Wonder where they're going to.
I don't know where they come from, but they got to where they're going.
6 David Jail, 1455.
There are strip joints, peep shows, and adult movie theaters everywhere.
Report any sighting. All right, David.
She's wearing some kind of a purple and lavender outfit. We ought to be able to spot her pretty easy.
Yeah, I've seen her on the news.
A clean-cut guy.
Weeks ago, when Update News reporter Karen White began receiving calls from a mysterious stranger who identified himself only as Eddie, the KDHB news team... The KDHB news team began working... The KDHB news team began working with local police to link Eddie with a recent string of...
Bill comes into the toilet.
Ah, Bill.
The clean-cut guy, Lou, straightens his tie in the mirror.
That's a brave little old girl you got there.
Bill eyes him coldly in the mirror, then wipes his hands on a paper towel and leaves. Lou gazes directly into the mirror again.
Tonight, at an act of courage we here at KDHB are all very proud of.
Good evening.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
Good, how's it going?
Oh, I'm going to need just a few more minutes.
In the phone box, Karen looks around nervously.
Jesus, there's a guy standing right outside the booth now. I don't know if it's him or not.
Lieutenant Chance, Detective Klein. This is Karen's husband.
Oh, you've got quite a brave young lady there, Mr. White.
Neil. Bill Neil. My wife uses her maiden name. Hi.
Bill Neil.
Yeah.
Stanford, right?
How is it going?
You know who this guy is?
I've got a clean word from
this
Karen.
This is knocked down, Neil. 15 minutes.
There's a guy standing with his back to the phone box.
Hello? Well, hold it. She's transmitting.
Come on, Eddie. I know that's you. Yeah, I'm alone.
Are you wearing what I ask you to?
The man in the darkened room, Eddie, licks his lips. In the control room, Bill lifts his head.
Where's the sound?
That's it.
What?
I'm afraid we might have lost her.
Bill looks over anxiously.
Lost her? But what the hell kind of half-ass operation is this?
Terry comforts him.
Okay, Eddie, I'll be there in just a little while.
Karen hangs up and sighs. She heads out.
Okay, mister, it's all yours.
The guy outside the phone box heads in. In a corridor outside the radio room.
Like you told me you'd never be out of contact with her. Now, what kind of operation are you running here?
They have people in the area. They'll pick
in the
her
area.
Up.
What does that mean, in the area?
They will find her.
Karen walks along a dark street alone. Neon signs and street lamps glow brightly. She gazes at signs that read, Park in Rear, Private Booths. Her eyes dart around nervously. She looks in through a shop window. The shelves are lined with pornographic magazines. Another sign reads, Video Cassettes, Hardcore.
Okay, guys, this is it. I'll keep the transmitter open.
In the radio booth, Chris shakes his head as the receiver crackles with static. He sighs. Karen heads into a dimly lit pornographic bookstore. As she enters, she clutches her bag to her and passes the man at the high-up counter. She walks past another guy in a suit who looks up at her, puts down the magazine he's reading, and quickly leaves. Karen jumps as a man barges out of a back room through a beaded curtain. Karen heads through the curtain. Karen steps along with trepidation. She glances around, then studies doors in front of her. The doors have pictures and signs under glass covers. One reads, Satisfaction Guaranteed, and has the same kind of smiley face sticker on it that was in the phone box. Karen opens this door and peers into the darkness. She draws in a breath, steeling herself, then enters. The man at the counter stares into space, a smug smile lingers on his lips. Karen closes the door behind her, she sits in a seat. A hand reaches from behind the seat and inserts money into a slot on the arm of the chair.
Hello, Eddie.
I knew you'd come, Karen. We have a lot to talk about, you and me.
A film plays on a screen in the room. Two men tie a naked woman to a bed.
Can I turn around and see you?
Not yet, Karen. Just watch.
On the street...
Yeah, she asked me directions to it.
Well, how long ago?
Well, a couple of minutes.
The struggle.
Two, give me a two-shot.
In the control room.
Unnecessary.
Take it.
It produces anger, frustration,
three.
The strain of modern
when he picks
day
the book
in a
up,
world
give me a close-up of it.
Shake camera three.
Moving too quickly. Towards his
three
own
minutes
island.
Commercial.
Two, push in to a single
all
of the doctor.
All of us have a great untapped potential, a potential for living.
Put his key in.
What we do with that
waiting's
potential,
tough.
With that life. Depends as much on our attitudes toward our physical.
Ready, one? Take one.
Bill storms out.
By mine.
One, you look a little soft.
Chris nods and Terry goes after Bill. On the monitors,
is given a gift. The gift of life.
In the darkened booth, the girl on the film is gagged.
She didn't feel a thing, Karen. None of them do. They're not real, the people here. They're dead. They could never be like me. But you're different, Karen. I watch you on TV. And I know how good I can make you feel. I'm gonna light up your whole body, Karen.
On screen, one of the men is raping the woman. Eddie runs his hands down Karen's back, then steps backwards.
Turn around now, Karen.
Karen turns around slowly.
I want to give you something.
In the darkness, a blue light flickers. Mist seems to swirl around the tall figure of a man with bushy hair. Karen tries to scream.
Yeah, there's a broad that came in here. She emptied the place out. She's watching movies.
The cops turn at the sound. They shoot straight through the door into the booth. Blood seeps out from under the door.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ. Put your piece away. Put that piece away.
The younger cop stands there in a daze, his gun still aimed.
I knew I shouldn't have let that broad back here.
Got a remote? Take it.
A film crew at the scene. Bill's with Karen.
Down here? Okay. A reign of urban terror ended early tonight in a bizarre shootout at a Western Avenue adult...
No knife, no gun, no nothing. The freak was clean. Now what the hell happened back there?
You want to ask me, Lieutenant? Ask Quick Draw McGraw here.
Died in an attempted assault of KDHB anchorwoman Karen White, who had been receiving calls from him in connection with a recent series of brutal murders in the downtown area.
I can't tomorrow's just make me, all right?
Karen's pale. She stares ahead vacantly.
It's okay. They said we could go home in a few minutes. I talked the old man out of putting me on camera tonight.
That was big of you.
We'll tape something later on when you feel up to it.
Karen stares at the faces of people around her.
Just whatever happened in your own words. Nothing newsy.
I don't know what happened in there.
Bill looks up, his brow furrowed. Chris leans over her.
I don't remember.
Karen stares ahead drowsily. She looks tearful. She hangs her head. Eddie has been taken off on a gurney in a body bag. At Karen and Bill's house, there's a photo of them together on the mantelpiece, along with a couple of trophies, a photo of Bill in American football gear, and a photo of Bill in a tux and Karen in a cocktail dress. Karen is asleep on the sofa. She's wearing a loose blue dress. She tosses and turns in her sleep and wears a disturbed expression on her face. The smiley face sticker flashes up in her mind. She sees a woman tied down and herself back in the booth. One of her hands clenches into a fist. She sees Eddie's figure in the darkness. He shakes violently. Bill wakes her.
It's me. It's Bill. It's all right.
Oh, I didn't see you. I turned around, but I didn't see you.
She throws her arms around Bill. She sobs and wraps her arms around him tightly. A sunny day. A large pale green clapboard building. Inside, a woman smoking leans over a banister, speaking to Terry and Chris.
It's number 27 down the hall.
Thank you.
Did the guy say anything else?
No, just said he worked with a kid named Eddie that he thought lived here. He did say that the kid hated washing dishes.
He doesn't.
A fat guy passes them and belches. They go into the flat. It's Eddie's flat. The walls have many newspaper clippings, one about a six-year-old kidnap victim, and there's a sketch of a wolf-like creature.
Charming.
Oh, yeah.
There's a sketch of a bestial woman next to an article entitled Murdering Messiah. Terry fans her hand in front of her face.
Just your average red-blooded all-American boy.
Terry crouches down to look at an object on the windowsill. A big dog jumps up, snarling.
Get out of here!
The object looks like a bone.
Boy, Doc's gonna have a field day with these.
Terry picks up a sketch.
Look at this.
She shows him the sketch.
Man, kid had talent.
Terry raises her brows.
Could have designed the Marquis de Sade coloring book.
Terry finds another sketch on the bed. She surveys the walls, her eyes darting around nervously. She looks from one sketch to another. All of the sketches are snarling man-beasts, hirsute and lupine, their faces angry or screaming. The bestial woman is attractive but covered in downy hair.
I think we better call the cops.
Eventually. Look at this.
A sketch of a seascape.
Hmm. Wonder if this is a real place.
In Wagner's office.
So what's the story on our next Norman Rockwell?
Well, this sort of person, they're controlled by the right hemisphere of the brain. Now, that dominates the non-rational, the artistic, the creative impulses.
He studies the sketches.
It's not unusual for a killer to draw as well as that.
It's not a bad angle, Doc. Would you mind putting that on tape for us?
Not at all.
We're trying to push Fred for a half-hour special called The Mind of Eddie Quist. Although we're focusing really on the beast in all of us.
Good idea. So you found the last name?
Signed his work?
It's right there.
Wagner picks up another sketch.
So he did.
Karen and Bill in bed.
No! I'm sorry.
She pushes him off.
I guess I'm just not quite ready yet, okay?
You'll be okay.
He leans forward to kiss her, then turns so his back is facing her.
Stand by cameras 1 and 2.
Then I'm on the air.
Opening scene ready. 2, push on in.
Hello.
You sure you're up to this?
I'm not diving in here first.
That's what the old man said.
I bet he did.
He sure did.
Here's our girl.
Hi,
Fred. Hi. Well, we're going to make ratings history tonight. You're going to be the cynosure of all eyes.
What is that?
That means that everybody is going to be watching you. Everybody wants to see the lady who caught Eddie the Mangler.
Terrific. You have my copy?
Yes.
Good luck.
Boy, she seems shaky.
Look fine to me.
All right, everyone, we'll go in 10 seconds.
On screen, a car is crushed.
5, 4, 3, 2.
This is KDHB-TV, Channel 6, Los Angeles.
Up on 2.
It's the 5 o'clock edition of the Southland's top-rated newscast, the Channel 6 Update News. Featuring new editors and Karen White with the late-breaking headlines. Gene Fowler with sports. John Brom with the weather.
Ready, camera 2.
Entire update news team. Official reaction to the El Monte chemical fire. 14 injured in Rockaway River train derailment. More on the Mid-Eastern earthquake. New terror threats in Geneva.
Lakers finally letters from those right-wing people. They call me a communist. I'm one of them.
Oh, man. Now, here is Karen White.
In the studio presenting...
Good evening.
She smiles and stares at the camera lens. In it, she sees the woman from the film, bound and gagged. The studio lights glare down on her. She sees Eddie's figure looming before her. Lou prompts her. He nods at the auto cue.
Get off it. Thank you, Karen. Get her out of there.
Reports from health officials at the scene of today's chemical
fire.
The
editorial.
Disposal company in El Monte proclaimed no immediate danger to nearby residential areas.
Karen's uncomfortable.
Let's pause now for an editorial from our general manager, Fred W. Francis. Here's Fred.
Terry rushes out to Karen in the studio. She puts her arm around her waist and helps her up. They head out.
It's all right.
A little more time. Just come with us. It
doesn't bite.
There's been a lot of talk in the past month about our culture of violence.
Who knows? Maybe she's pregnant. Listen, get in touch with that Fujiyama, Fujimoto, or whatever the hell her name is, and get her ready for the 11 o'clock report.
He hangs up.
Now there is a pro.
He points at Lou on the monitors. At Wagner's office.
You can't be afraid of dreams.
I can't help it. All I remember is pushing open the door. And then I'm outside, and the police are there, and Bill's there, and the remote crew, and it's over. And...
She stares into space.
There's this blood on me, and I can't imagine who it might have come from.
You can't remember anything that happened inside the booth?
She swallows.
No, not really. Just weird little pieces in my dreams.
Wagner frowns thoughtfully.
How are you and Bill?
Trying to communicate.
She smiles and looks down.
Okay, tell me, Doctor, how crazy am I?
Completely banal.
I think so.
I'm going to recommend that you go out to the colony for a week or two.
Your place up north there?
That's right. Now, I only recommend it to very special patients, ones who I think will benefit from its environment. It's a place where you can recharge your batteries. It'll enable you to try and get back to what you really are.
What goes on up there?
Well, seminars, some group therapy. It's very low-key. It'll be a good place to try and tackle this amnesia thing.
In the car.
I don't know if I want to remember.
What?
Doc said once I remembered what happened, it wouldn't scare me anymore. I'm not so sure.
Honey, give this place a chance, okay? We gotta do something.
They drive through the country.
Well, I hope these people aren't too weird.
A doddery old man sings under the night sky. A party on the beach. A band plays.
Oh, hi! Jerry Warren, softwares.
Ah, hi, Bill Neal, hardware.
Hardware?
He doesn't get it, Bill.
I own a couple of health clubs, barbells, hardware. It's my wife, Karen.
Hi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Me too.
Prime it?
No, I try to stay away from me.
Maybe later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Boy, I'm not. Did
you see that meat? Karen, what? Oh, my God. We watch you on the news all the time. You're our second favorite. Right behind, what's the name of that Oriental girl, Jer?
This is my wife, Donna.
Hi.
Get me out of here, Bill.
Looky here, looky here. Welcome to the colony.
Well, thank you. Charlie Barton, Bill and Karen.
White.
Neil.
Charlie's on our board. He put up all the cattle for tonight's barbecue.
Oh, good. I seen you on television.
Thank you.
If you fellas don't mind, I think I'm going to borrow Karen and just give her the rundown on the colony.
Don't leave out the juicy stuff.
Oh, I won't. Come on.
Now let's get this boy some bacon.
Okay, hey, Bill.
Donna leads Karen off. The old man sits on his own. He's hunched and stares into space miserably. His brow is furrowed and he chews methodically.
Go on like this. Damn teeth are shut. Hell of a note.
Bill approaches a buffet where an attractive long-haired brunette woman is standing. She wears a low-cut dress and a shawl.
You want some?
Yeah, sure, why not? What's in it?
She ladles some punch into a glass for him.
It's good.
She smiles.
I'm Bill.
I'm looking for my wife.
She bites her lip and leans closer.
Why?
Bill thinks.
Excuse me.
Bill wanders off. The woman smiles to herself as she watches him go. A guy sitting by himself is carving something with a knife. He turns to look at people passing.
Now you can see why I brought you up here. You won't be cold here. Well, speaking of cold, how is your bungalow?
Oh, it's quite nice, thanks.
We're neighbors.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Tell me something else. Do you miss the television?
Are you kidding? I don't have to pin my hair up.
The man with the knife, TC, gazes at Karen with a salacious smile. She looks down awkwardly.
Wagner.
Hello, Marcia. How are you?
Take this book back. I don't want my brother reading it.
I think he said he'd like to.
You've done enough damage already.
The attractive brunette woman hands a book back to Wagner. She whips round and glares at Karen and Donna, then leaves.
Bitch.
No. We can all learn a great deal from Marcia. She's a very elemental person. It's all that natural energy.
She's a nymphomaniac.
No. It's just that it's so unchallenged. So there's a long way to go.
Wagner looks over at the band. A couple make out on the beach. The miserable old man shrugs to himself. The old man, Earl, shuffles over to a group of people chatting. He pauses by them, then wanders off. Earl stares at a wall. The shadows of two people dancing move like spirits in front of him. Marcia smiles. Bill watches her. A man has Earl by the arm.
Let me go, let me go. I want to end it.
Easy, buddy, just calm down.
It's the only way. I gotta end it. I gotta burn.
Oh, now calm down. Think a minute.
You gotta let me do it, Doc. You gotta.
Jesus. Don't worry. That's one of Earl's favorite tricks. He's just trying to get attention.
I want to end it. It just goes on and on.
Well, you know better than that.
You gotta let
me. The old man shouldn't drink. Really gets him loose.
I want to end
it. Now, believe me. Come tomorrow. You will be so pleased to see that you're safe and sound. They won't think anything more of you. You get a good night's sleep. Everything will seem better in the light of day. There.
Wagner leads Earl away from the party. Karen gazes at them both, her eyes wide and her arms folded. Mist floats through the forest. A wooden cabin sits in a clearing in the forest. In it, Karen and Bill are asleep in bed together. Karen writhes in her sleep. She's dreaming. In the darkened booth, she turns to see Eddie. Earl stares at the fire, wild-eyed. Karen awakens with the sound. She glances over at him. He's fast asleep. She sits up and gets out of bed carefully, trying not to make a sound. She creeps to the half-open window and peers out, her hair blowing in the breeze. It's dark outside, and the trees are enveloped in mist. She runs back to bed.
Bill, wake up, there's something out there. Outside, something was howling.
Only trees and fog are visible.
Shh, listen.
The wind.
There's something howling before.
Okay, sure, somebody's dog.
Not like any dog I ever heard.
Honey, you were raised in L.A. The wildest thing you ever heard was Wolfman Jack. This is the country. Come on, let's try to get some sleep, okay? Okay? Good.
Bill goes back to sleep. Karen lies back, but her eyes are wide open. In the living room, Karen is stoking a fire. She has a dressing gown over her shoulders. She sits on the arm of a sofa and gazes into the fire. Outside, something stalks through the undergrowth towards the wooden cabin. Karen looks up on hearing a noise. She straightens stiffly and glances around. She heads out onto the porch with a torch. She sweeps the beam over her surroundings. She climbs down the steps of the porch, flashing her torch about as she finds some torn threads hanging on a plant. She turns sharply, gazing into the darkness. She turns in the other direction and backs towards the lodge. She heads in and slams the door shut. Marcia's brother T.C. is crouched in the undergrowth in the forest, staring. He smiles softly. Day, on a tennis court.
I mean, you heard something outside. Why shouldn't you call the police?
Oh, I'm embarrassed. I wish we hadn't even called it. Look at this. All the balls on my side of the court again.
What you ladies need is a good retriever.
Hi, Sam.
Hi. Hey, Doc said on the phone that you folks had a coyote problem out here. Hey, you're famous, ain't you?
Sort of.
Sam, this is Karen White. Karen, Sam Newfield.
Oh, hi. Sure. Nice to meet you.
I used to watch you all the time. You're a lot prettier than Walter Cronkite.
Oh, Sam, Karen thought she saw something moving in the bushes last night.
Well, now your coyote is liable to come into a setup like this looking for garbage. Did you hear anything?
Me? Oh, I sleep like the dead.
Tattoo, huh? I don't remember one on him when he came in.
Yeah, well, the coroner said that he had one on his shoulder, some kind of animal head right there.
He lowers a body bag.
Don't get many of you TV people in here. Mostly it's your newspaper guys like to come in, look at the meat.
I don't know how you can stand it.
Yeah, doesn't bother me. Want to unwrap him, Ross? Let's see. Quist is still with the John Does. We haven't had time to refile him. Only thing that freaked me out since I've been working here is the night old Stu Walker came in. The guy who worked here, right? I say goodnight to him at the shift change. A couple hours go by, then we get a delivery from the Oceanside unit. I unzip the bag. There's old Stu, smiling up at me, leaking seawater out his ears. Visitors, Eddie!
A mortuary drawer.
Where is he? He was here this morning.
Eddie's gone.
God, look at the door.
It's been clawed at.
I suppose somebody could have stolen him, do you?
Well, he didn't get up and walk out on his own.
Chris, Terry, and the coroner stare into the empty drawer. Night, Karen and Donna sit on a fence.
There are cows around here?
Charlie Barton's got a couple of acres of pasture just down the hill.
They don't sound right.
I'm not really sure how cows are supposed to sound.
Not like that. Jerry's got a rifle, doesn't he?
Training.
No.
They walk through the woods.
Before I hooked into Doc, I did it all. I did Est, TM, Scientology, Iridology, Primal Screamers. I don't know. I figure another 5 years of real hard work and maybe I'll be a human being.
Donna has a shotgun.
I don't see nothing.
Well, I don't hear anything so funny anyway.
They come across a dead cow.
Oh, Jesus
Christ.
As they stare at it, their flashlight flickers.
Now what?
What's wrong?
Great!
What's wrong?
Oh, what's wrong?
All right, let me look at it. Let me see.
Donna takes the torch.
I can tell that better.
She shakes the torch.
Oh, God, Donna. Now we're stuck out here in the middle of Timbuktu someplace.
What's that gun?
God!
Sorry to scare you, ma'am. Thought she was a cowjacker.
There's another one back up yonder tore it the same way.
You know what did it?
Well, it ain't a coyote, that's a cinch. You girls all right?
Oh, yeah. Nothing like a quiet week in the country.
Day. Bill aims a shotgun. Jerry helps him.
Illustrator. All right, now the quick shot again. Think fast. You have potential, Bill. I think you're ready for your bullets.
Hey, don't you guys usually use a dog in this kind of hunt?
Usually. Well, these clowns shoot all of them.
Besides, who needs dogs? We got TC.
That boy's part blood out. I still think it was UFOs. Them cattle mutilations.
Good, Earl, good. You watch the skies for us now. That'll be your job.
I want to talk to you.
What are you doing here? I thought you had a session.
I do, but I don't want you to go do this, not just for my sake. Are you kidding?
He kisses her.
Besides, I've never been on a war
before. All right, boys, this is Wolf, huh? Not a coon show.
Boys are calling me. Did you see the boys?
Yep.
Bill heads off on the hunt with the other guys. TC runs through the forest like a feral beast, nimbly leaping onto tree trunks and along steep inclines. The other guys hold their guns and peer through the trees. They trail through the forest, glancing around. A group therapy session in a cabin.
What happened then, Karen?
I hear something else. Somebody else's breathing is in there with me. It's Eddie, and he closes the door, and he puts a quarter into the slot, and the movie starts. And then he whispers something to me. And he whispers something to me, and then he tells me I can finally turn around and look at him.
Turn around.
What do you see?
What's there, Karen?
Karen, what do you see?
What's there, Karen?
I can't see him.
Just try. He's right there.
What do you see?
What's there, Karen?
What do you see, Karen?
What's there, Karen?
I can't see him.
Okay. That's far enough for now. That's fine.
I'm sorry, I...
Bill fires his rifle, then runs towards an animal lying on the ground, dead. He kneels by it.
Hey, I got it. First shot.
And he said he wasn't no hunter.
Along a street, they enter a bookshop. A man on a ladder against bookshelves eyes them. There's a ceramic ornament of a devil with horns on top of a glass cabinet. The man turns to Terry, who's waiting.
We get them all. Sun worshippers, moon worshippers, Satanists. The Manson people used to hang around here and shoplift. Bunch of deadbeats.
Do you know of any groups that are into stealing corpses?
Body snatching? Yeah. If you want to read about it, I got a book for you. Slide me down.
Chris slides the ladder along. He picks up a book.
You name it, I got the book.
A number of young women were killed in the next month, their bodies exhibiting signs of animal attack.
What's that?
Warlocks, werewolves, and demons.
She flicks through the pages of the book. She comes across a sketch of a werewolf.
Please, you're going to purchase. Not leave him alone, you're getting greasy.
We'll find out if any of Eddie's killings were on a full moon.
Hey, that's a lot of Hollywood baloney. Your classic werewolf could change shape anytime it wants, day or night, whenever it takes a notion to. That's why I call them shapeshifters. I got a dozen books on it.
What about killing it with silver bullets?
Well, sure. Silver bullets are fire. It's the only way to get rid of the damn things. They're worse than cockroaches. They come back from the dead if you don't kill them right. Plus, they regenerate. You know what that is? Cut off an arm, cut off a leg, stick a knife in their heart, nothing. They may look dead, but bam, 3 days later, they're as good as new.
You believe in this?
What am I, an idiot? I'm making a buck here. You want books? I got books. I got chicken blood. I got dog embryos. I got black candles. I got wolf paint. Look at this. Silver bullets. Some joker ordered them. 3006. Never picked them up. I take Bank America, American Express, Visa. You gonna buy that or what?
Yeah, these two.
Two books.
Well, there's some incredible old pictures in this book.
That's a good book.
A wolf with a cherubic young girl. Bill approaches TC.
Do you see any wolves?
Nope. There's lots of rabbits.
What do you do with these things?
Eat them.
Oh.
My sister will cook it up for you if you want.
No, I try to stay away from meat.
Your wife might like it. You kill something you don't eat. Now, that's a sin.
Yeah, well, I never thought of it like that.
The place just over there. My sister would be glad to cook it up for you.
He looks Bill up and down.
Sure?
Marcia just loves to cook.
He chews and waves a leaf in his hand.
Okay.
Bill hands the guy his rifle and heads towards the wooden cabin.
Are you sure?
He nods and Bill heads off, holding the rabbit he shot by its hind legs. Inside the lodge, Marcia lops the tail off the rabbit with a cleaver and throws the little fluffy tail over to Bill, who catches it and frowns. She grins cheekily. Bill puts the tail down on top of the fridge and seems to stare at something there.
How long will it take?
Marcia wipes her hands on a cloth.
I'll cook it later.
She steps towards him and takes his head in her hands. She leans down and kisses him passionately. He puts a hand on her shoulder and kisses her back. Suddenly, he pushes her back and stands up. Eventually, he lets go of her and ambles away. The bright moon in the night sky. Bill wanders through trees in the forest. It's filled with an eerie mist again. He shoves his hands in the pockets of his gilet. He stops in his tracks and looks around. He turns in another direction. The beady yellowing eye of a dark beast moves slowly in its socket. Bill stops again, surveying his misty surroundings. A huge wolf-like creature pounces on him, baring its fangs. Bill struggles against it. It bites Bill's arm, tearing his top in the process, then disappears. Bill sits up. Bill gets onto his knees, then stands shakily. He falls over at the bottom of a set of stairs leading up to the cabin porch. He gets up. Karen hears him. They're in Wagner's office. Wagner prepares a syringe.
It happened so fast I didn't even see what it was. Jesus, Doc, is that necessary?
Can't take any chances.
He injects Bill.
God.
I want to go home.
I wouldn't advise traveling right now. A bite like that can be pretty serious.
Chris and Terry are in bed together.
Yes, that's the sign of the werewolf.
That's just a legend, though, isn't it?
Yes, but like most legends, it must have some basis in fact. Probably an ancient explanation of the dual personality in each of us. How does it go? And even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolf bane blooms. And the autumn moon is brighter.
You're reading, I'll get it.
It's calling you at 11:30.
Oh, I read.
No, it's my phone. I'll get it.
I'll get it.
You want me to get it?
You get it.
Hello?
There's no crime in that.
Karen? No, we're still up.
Do you think I don't
what?
Know the difference between a wolf and a man?
You're kidding me. No, listen, we'll come right up, okay? We'll be right up. Just calm down. Okay, bye-bye.
What is it?
Bill just got bitten by a wolf.
Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
Come on, Terry, it's only a movie. You go on ahead and I'll be up as soon as I pitch the special to the old man. Relax, will you? It was probably just some stray dog.
Hello, good friend.
Hello.
How are you?
You okay?
Karen and Terry stroll on a beach.
I don't know what her last name is. Donna calls her Marsha the Man-Eater. Really? And she lives in this shack. This furry little animal's hanging from the rafters. And you think she's trying to make the move on Bill? Oh, I don't know. It's just a feeling. I sound paranoid, don't I?
Karen, you sound fine. Got no veggies. I totally forgot. Huh? About Bill and this dinner. Bill! Bill! I'm really sorry. I totally forgot about you not eating meat.
Hey, no sweat. It's terrific. No, really. I get hungry enough, I'll eat anything.
Bill chomps on an animal leg. At the guest cabin, Bill reads a book in bed. Karen slides into bed next to him. She rests her head on his chest and kisses it.
Hello. Bring this book here.
She tugs the book.
Well, I just thought maybe we...
Your timing is incredible. I'm sorry, any of those shots were...
Okay.
She leans away, back onto the pillows.
God, we're just out of sync, aren't we? We never want the same thing at the same time.
Karen stares at Bill.
Good night, Bill.
She rolls away. Bill gazes into the distance. Out of the cabin window, the mist gathers in the woods. A series of images, Karen tied up, Dr. Wagner on the TV. Karen out in the full moon, paralysed by a series of flashing coloured lights. A half-human form in the shadows. Bill grins at her. She's alone in bed.
Screw you, then.
Bill wanders out in the woods. He stops as Marsha approaches. A fire burns. In the glow of the fire, Marsha gives him a come-hither smile. She sashays towards Bill, undressing as she does so. Bill removes his wrap-over. Marsha drops her dress. She's naked underneath. She steps up to Bill. The fire screens their naked bodies. They caress and kiss. They embrace passionately. Bill picks Marsha up and lowers her gently to the ground. The pair continue to kiss as the flames surge in the foreground. In the cabin, Terry stirs from her sleep. She becomes aware of the howling and sits upright. She clambers out of bed and opens the cabin window. She grabs her recorder and sets it up. She points the microphone towards the forest. At the fireside, Marsha straddles Bill. He sucks her fingers. He pulls her in close and half rolls on top of her. She gently undoes the bandage on his bite mark and licks it. The flames flicker higher. Bill rears his head backwards, his incisors extend slowly. Marsha's teeth grow too. Marsha's eyes yellow and glisten. Bill drools as he bends down to kiss her once more. Bill howls towards the night sky. In his office, Dr. Wagner examines documents from the upper drawer of a filing cabinet. He turns his head as he hears the howling. He takes off his glasses. He goes to the window and listens intently. Meanwhile, Bill gradually transforms into a werewolf. Long lupine teeth, a coating of blonde hair over his body, violent steel eyes. Marsha wriggles on the ground, her hair straggled, her teeth protruding. Bill runs his long, sharp claws across Marsha's stomach, slashing lines of blood. They transform fully in the firelight. The howling grows ever louder as above the forest the full moon shines down. Recorder. She stops the recording, then takes notes. She stares out across the beach at the cove and the sea beyond. In the cabin, Karen sleeps on. Bill peeks around the bedroom door. He kneels before her, hands on the mattress. She rolls over. Her arm extends out across the bed. Bill jerks his hands away. He gazes down at them. At the cove, Terry views the inlet from a clifftop vantage point. She clambers up the pathway towards the wood. She looks back at the ocean view. She turns back one more time to scan the horizon. She pulls out several charcoal drawings from her satchel. She flips through drawings of half-transformed werewolves till she comes to the seascape picture. It shows the cove from where she stands. She takes a deep breath. She hurries into the woods. The sea laps against the rocks. Terry traipses through the forest, the redwoods tower above her blocking out the light to the forest floor. She glances around her. She steps off the beaten track and deeper into the gloom. The mists descend.
Terry.
Terry swivels round on hearing her name. Her eyes dart about the gloomy forest. She squints into the depths of the forest. She heads into the misty recesses, clambering over a falling tree as she goes. A claw-like hand reaches up to pull the undergrowth back as she walks on. Terry stops and exhales nervously. Her eye catches something. She weaves between the trees. A wooden shack resting on a granite base. Animal skins adorn the outside of the shack. From the solitary window, animal bones are visible hanging off a wire. Terry creeps towards the house. She climbs the stone steps to the front porch. Animal skins are pinned to the walls. She looks in at the window. She passes a wooden bench and a wooden seagrass chair. She clatters into the bone, which is suspended like a mobile from the porch beams. She peers through panes of glass in a door, shielding her eyes for a better view. A fluttering noise focuses her attention on the wood behind. A second entrance is slightly ajar. She hesitates on the threshold. She gently shoves the door.
Hello? Anybody here?
She tiptoes into the kitchen. In the woods, hairy hind legs stalk. She scans the kitchen. Jars of pickles and canisters of herbs line the walls. Above, a rough-hewn stone fireplace, an icy blue painting of two werewolves. Her eye is caught by the table, a meal freshly prepared. She peeks behind a door, which is ajar. She meanders into another room. On the wall, a tiny mirror and a charcoal picture of Marcia. A view from the mirror shows Terry aim her camera and snap several shots. She continues to take pictures of a portrait of a smiley face sticker stuck to another wooden panelled door. She advances on the door and gives it a push. Inside, she finds newspaper cuttings and more drawings, this time of werewolves. The cuttings are pinned to every wall and on every surface. On a cupboard, a mock-up of an open lupine mouth with razor-sharp teeth and twigs for a snout. Terry takes photos. She elbows the door aside. Another door rattles on its hinges. Terry flees the room, slamming the door behind her. She closes the door just as another one springs open. She glances wildly around the room, then scurries to the closed window. The panelled door shakes and starts to fall apart. As the door splinters, Terry forces open the window and leaps out. She rolls into a log which has an axe in it. She wrenches out the axe and wriggles into a crawl space. A hairy claw smashes in from the panel behind. She tries to lever herself forward, but its grip is too strong. She smashes the axe handle down on the claw. The lupine creature clings on, ripping at her clothes. The creature tears down the panel. Terry aims her axe at it and swings. She chops frantically at the creature, which grabs her ankle. She rips her foot free and slices into the creature's arm. She brings the axe down once more, cutting into the arm and finally severing it from the creature's body. The bloody arm and hand pulsate and quiver. A horrified Terry stares transfixed, the axe still held aloft. The glistening flesh expands and contracts as the hairy claw slowly mutates into a human hand. A weeping Terry backs out of the cubbyhole. The human hand wriggles and shudders. Terry sprints hell for leather through the wood. She stumbles blindly through the undergrowth and runs up to Wagner's wooden cabin. Inside, she closes his office door and shivers. She picks up the phone. She composes herself, then dials. In another room, a clawed hand depresses the play button on the recorder. The phone rings out. Terry hangs on the line.
Come on, Christopher.
Hello.
Christopher? Christopher? You're not going to believe this.
A flashed image of Bill as a werewolf. Karen starts awake.
Bill?
I'm in the bathroom.
Bill examines his bandaged bite.
Dream again. This time I think you were in it.
No wonder, honey. You've been asleep all day.
Jesus, where'd you get those scratches on your back?
Bill pulls his shirt over the red scratches.
I guess they're from the other night when I got attacked.
They weren't there the other night.
Karen, you're really getting paranoid.
Karen clings to the pillow.
You've been with her, haven't you, that Marcia girl?
But don't lay your fantasies out on me.
Oh, please, I'm not going to take that one
anymore.
I know,
it's all a big conspiracy as far as...
You know, you don't have one inch of backbone.
Little Karen.
She walks by you like a bitch and eating you.
Bill slaps Karen across the face. She lies prostrate on the bed, weeping. She sits up slowly. She staggers out of bed, avoiding his outstretched hand. She wrenches free and runs out. Bill squats on the bed and raises his eyes upward.
Look, calm down. You're not making any sense. Eddie Quist is dead.
I saw pictures just like we saw in his room. Christopher, the landscape, it's here at the colony. It's real.
Where are you? At Doc's?
Yeah. Christopher, I'll tell you something.
to be Marcus.
Look, is there some kind of file cabinet there?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're all right?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm okay. It's just good to hear your voice.
All right, look in the files on your Quist.
Okay. You're not gonna hang up, are you?
No. I'll get the police there as soon as I can. Just go look in the file.
Okay, hold on a minute. Never mind, you're coming with me.
Chris focuses on the cartoon of the big bad wolf, which is playing on the TV in front of him. Terry fumbles in the filing cabinet. She plucks out several files marked Quist.
Quist, Marcia. Quist, TC. Oh, Christopher. It's Eddie. Quist.
A clawed hand grips the third file she extracts. The werewolf snarls. Terry gapes in horror. The werewolf slaps her to the floor. It hurls the trolley towards her as she crawls backwards.
Terry?
Terry?
A bloody Terry cowers against the wall. The werewolf moves the trolley.
Yeah, operator, get me the Lanwelly County Sheriff's Department, quick!
It flings the screen across the room. Terry switches on the doctor's large blue lamp. The werewolf cringes momentarily. She rushes past it as it makes a grab for her.
Now, don't bother. Look, I'll get a hold of the state boys and we'll meet you over at the center. Now, I wouldn't worry, Mr. Holland. I'm sure she's safe.
The werewolf picks Terry up by the throat and dangles her in midair. Her legs flail. She punches the creature helplessly. The werewolf cracks the bones in her neck. It leans in and bites. Her legs stop moving and her body goes limp. On the desk, sketches of a werewolf. The creature's skull compared to a human's, of the transfiguration from man to beast. Blood drips on the sketches. In a wooden box, an array of silver bullets.
Fella, those are real silver. I gotta check in with a jeweler to find out what the charge.
Bill me!
Crazy fuck.
Karen, with bags in tow, scurries through the woods crying. She bangs on the doctor's door.
Gotta use your phone.
She spots the phone off the hook.
Jesus Christ, what happened in here?
She creeps into the darkened room. The patient's screen is up and the lamp on. She yanks the screen away to reveal Terry's corpse, her throat ripped out and her eyes blooded. She covers the body with the white sheet. She drops her bags on the floor and snatches the phone. She dials, she shakes the phone. She jerks her head up as she hears the howling. She backs away from the noise, straight into the corpse. The body springs to life and jumps from the trolley. The lamp falls and the bulb goes out. Karen crawls to the edge of the desk where Terry's body lies slumped. The part werewolf, part man, corners Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Eddie.
I'm glad you came. I wanted to see you again.
I saw you die.
You said on the phone that you wanted to get to know me. But here I am, Karen. Look at me.
Eddie fixes Karen with a bloody-eyed stare.
I want to give you a piece of my mind. I trusted you, Karen.
He paws at the scar on his forehead. He wriggles his finger inside the hole. He He extracts the bullet. As he does so, his face slowly transforms. His skin quivers and he changes shape. His eyes glaze over white. His forehead vibrates. His eyes turn a violent green and his fingernails expand into sharp, pointed claws. His hair lengthens and straggles, his incisor teeth enlarge, his shirt rips as he expands his chest. A terrified Karen remains rooted to the spot. Eddie quivers and strains as his once human arms turn into the sinewy, hairy ones of a werewolf. Karen gazes helplessly. The werewolf fixes his beady eyes on her. His chest heaves. His jaw elongates, his face twists into a manic smile. A bony clawed hand drops to his side, his forehead pulsates. On his head, ears gradually protrude through. The spindly bony claws extend. The face draws out into that of a grotesque, glistening wolf. The werewolf's snout and protruding teeth fully form. Karen reaches behind her and grabs a bottle of fluid. The werewolf's ears shoot up through its skull. The face vibrates and the long jawline narrows into a point. The jaws pull back to reveal pink gums and needle-sharp teeth. Karen gapes, transfixed in both amazement and terror. The fully transformed Eddie werewolf snarls. Karen hurls the fluid from the jar straight at him. Eddie roars as the acidic fluid smokes and burns his skin. Karen backs away and flees from the office.
Come on,
take
come
it easy,
on.
Pal. You know, not all of us got enough money for a Mazda. Some of us have to work for a living, you know what I mean?
Look, I'm in a hurry here. This is an emergency.
Karen jumps into her car.
Come on out of there now, miss. We've been waiting for you.
Charlie and Jerry peer through the mist. Jerry's shotgun is aimed at Karen. They escort her through the wood to a barn adorned in animal carcasses.
Took some persuading, did she?
Earl stands at the front of the congregated colonists. On a bench lies Terry's lifeless body. Looking on, Marcia Quist in a leather dress. A tearful Karen studies the barn and the many skins hung on the walls. The colonists gather round her. From their mist, Wagner saunters into view.
Doc!
Karen throws her arms around his neck.
No.
On the highway, Chris weaves in and out of the traffic.
Where's Bill? He's one of us now.
Give him time, he would have brought you over to us. Our secret would be safe.
It's wonderful, Karen. When I was first bitten, I fought against it. And so did Jerry.
And then we found the doctor. He helped us. He helped us to adjust. You see, Karen, he understands all about the gift. He knows how to use it, how to control it.
You could have Bill back. There's still time if you accept the gift.
It's a mistake to bring her to the colony.
We should have stuck with the old ways.
Raising cattle for our feed.
Where's the life in that?
The humans are our cattle.
The humans are our prey. We should feed on them like we always done. Screw all this channel your energy crap.
But the danger of exposure. We need the shelter plan to catch up with society. Times have changed, and we haven't. Not enough.
Shut up, Doc. You wouldn't listen to me. None of you. We can fit in, you said. We can live with them. You make me sick.
Masha.
Oh, you're through, Doc. She's ours now.
Chris skids to a halt in the misty forest. He scrambles out of his Mazda, rifle at the ready. Karen flees from the colony's meeting barn. A malevolent TC with a withered arm blocks her way. Jerry grabs her from behind.
See what your friend did to me? Is that nice?
What's the matter with you all? Have you forgotten everything you've learned? She can't disappear. She's well known.
He's right, Marcia. We gotta make this look like an accident.
I won't let you do this.
Marcia claws at Wagner's face, and Charlie hits him in the stomach with the butt of his gun.
You can't tame what's meant to be wild, Doc. It ain't natural.
Chris creeps towards Wagner's office. He opens the door.
History shows us.
Doc?
Coping with that fact, living with it, presents each of us with moral...
Harry?
Chris surveys the wrecked room, the broken lamp, the shattered screen, and the pool of blood on the floor. The tape recorder plays on relentlessly.
Life and death struggle produces gratification.
Chris fingers the blood on the keys.
Eddie's victims were bitten, almost as if they had been attacked by an animal. Doctor, what can you tell me about lycanthropy?
Where did you learn that term?
On the Late Late Show.
Oh, well, it's a mental disorder. There are...
He props up the rifle next to the desk. He approaches the filing cabinet.
Bestial groans and sighs. They prefer to eat raw meat.
Well, it certainly seems like an awful...
He rifles through the Quist family files. He puts the files down on the desk. A shadow flits across the office wall. Chris backs towards the door. He cocks the rifle. A man smashes through the glass and snatches the rifle. Hidden in the shadow, Eddie's monstrous, misshapen head.
Hello, bread boy. Eddie? You know me, and I don't know you. Now, why is that?
Where is she?
Why? Is she your girlfriend?
Where's Terry? Huh.
Just down the ritual center, down the path. That's where Wagner sends us to, unwind. He's so repressed.
What did you do to her?
She's got a sexy voice. I like a woman with a sexy voice. Listen to this part here.
Crazy.
Oh, I'm much more than that, bright boy. I'm much more. Here. Take it.
Eddie holds out the rifle.
Call it a gift. Come on. Come on, bright boy. Don't you know anything?
Eddie sneers through his blackened lips. His scarred, flesh-torn face pulsates. His neck bulges. Chris glances at the rifle. He aims and opens fire. Eddie grabs his throat. Blood spurts out. Chris shoots once more.
Put her and her friend in the car. Pour gasoline over them, set fire to them, and push them off the coast road.
Jerry drags Karen out. TC takes the petrol can. Chris blocks their path.
They'll kill you.
Gun won't do you any good, mister.
Don't come any closer.
TC, part werewolf, part man, advances baring his teeth. The claws extend on his hands. His fangs grow ever longer. His yellow eyes glisten. His face lengthens and the needle-sharp teeth protrude. Chris aims and shoots. The werewolf crumples in a heap. Chris cocks his rifle. The colonists move cautiously forward to inspect the motionless body. They raise their heads in unison and focus their attention on Chris.
I have silver bullets in here.
Silver bullets, my ass.
Get up, T.C.
Jerry raises his gun to shoot. Chris fires. Jerry drops to the floor. Karen holds her fingers to her face. She quakes in terror.
Here we are.
Wagner advances on Chris.
Don't come any closer, Doc. Please.
Chris shoots and hits the doctor in the stomach. He bends double in agony.
Thank God.
He drops down. Karen clutches her head. Marsha's features transform. Her yellow eyes glower at Chris. Her lupine fangs protrude. Earl and Charlie mutate into werewolves. Chris forces them back into the meeting barn.
Karen, get the door.
The snarling werewolves hammer against the barn door. Chris fastens the door shut using Jerry's rifle. He grabs the petrol can and leads Karen round the side of the barn.
The barn?
Yeah, I think so.
Chris douses the barn in petrol.
They killed her, and I think so.
The howling werewolves scratch and bang on the door. Chris lights a line of petrol which leads directly to the barn. The barn goes up in flames. Karen clutches Chris as they watch the barn ignite. The inferno rages. The barn fills with smoke as the trapped werewolves shriek. Chris and Karen flee. The werewolves punch holes in the barn walls in their frantic attempts to escape. They howl. Wagner lies dead on the floor. Chris and Karen make a dash for the car. Chris shoves the rifle into Karen's hand. Something batters the car roof. A sinewy claw bursts through the roof and grips Chris's arm. Karen shoots through the punctured roof. The werewolf smashes the windscreen. Karen passes the gun to Chris, who fires through the shattered windscreen. The werewolf collapses off the car, which squeals away. In the car, Karen wipes tears from her face.
How'd you find out about him?
Terry called right after
the... Oh, stop! It's Sam!
Sam steps into the road from his patrol car, rifle at the ready. He bares his fangs. Chris slews the car to a halt. Sam aims. Sam fires, blowing out the rear window. He takes out a light on his second shot. On his third, he punctures a tire. Chris scrambles out of the car. They exchange gunfire. Chris shoots Sam in the chest.
No gas, come on! Come on!
They sprint for the patrol car. Chris's Mazda explodes into a ball of flame.
Give it to me!
Karen grasps the gun while Chris turns the ignition key.
Come on.
A werewolf looms up by the car. The creature claws the glass. Werewolves surround the car, pawing and scratching. Chris fumbles with the ignition. The werewolves hammer on the glass, cracking it. The car sparks into life. Chris snatches the gun and opens fire through the windscreen. The werewolf lies motionless. Chris accelerates the car away. A werewolf smashes through the back window. The werewolf bites Karen on the shoulder. She points the rifle backwards and shoots. The patrol car speeds away to freedom. Chris places his hand on a sobbing, bloody Karen. In the back seat, the werewolf is no longer. Instead, a man's tattoos are visible.
We have to warn people, Chris. We have to make them believe.
Chris drives into the night. Back in the city, a makeup artist applies the finishing touches to Karen as she prepares to go on TV.
You're an artist. You look terrific.
I know you are. Thanks.
If you're done, Fran, thanks a lot.
Chris moves in to comfort Karen. A nervous Karen touches her face.
Not sure I can go through with this.
You have to.
Okay, stand by on the stop. The Meadow Luna nuclear power station. How safe is safe? Now, here is Lou Landers.
Good evening. More word on that fire that's burning out of control up the coast tonight. Firefighters have discovered the blaze seems to have started at The Colony, an experimental living community founded by author and behavior expert Dr. George West.
She's ready.
How's she look? She look all right to you?
Reports so far indicate that bodies have been discovered both inside and outside the colony building.
Into a single?
Many of them burned beyond recognition. And what authorities on the scene are calling a Guyana-like spectacle. Now for an exclusive eyewitness report on the incident. We welcome back...
She shows any sign of freezing like the last Karen time, but right to commercial.
Karen? Take one.
Good evening. From the day we're born, there is a battle we must fight. A struggle between what is kind and peaceful in our natures and what is cruel and violent.
What the hell is this, an editorial?
That choice is our birthright as human beings and the real gift that differentiates us from the animals. It is as natural to us as the air we breathe.
Did you pass this material? She's not ready
for
the prompter.
All of us take it for granted.
We changed it a little.
But now for some of us, that choice has been taken away. A secret society exists and is living among all of us. They are neither people nor animals, but something in between. Monstrous mutations whose violent natures...
Ready, one? Take one.
...must be satisfied. I know what you're thinking, because I've been where you are.
That's enough.
Leave it.
And it's possible
Leave
to
it.
Imagine.
Cut. Leave it!
But I have proof, and... tonight I'm going to show you something... Make you believe.
Karen rises from her seat, her eyes glisten blue, her body quivers. She throws her head back and howls. Frank goggles and covers his mouth in horror.
Holy shit!
A somber Chris eyeballs a distressed Karen, a tear trickles down her face.
What is this?
Wow!
What are you kids watching?
The newsies turned into a werewolf!
Oh, boy.
La mujer se cambió en un lobo.
Karen fully mutates. Her lupine snout quivers. Her straw hair hangs from her face. She fixes Chris with an imploring stare. Chris raises his rifle and takes aim.
Switch! Switch, damn it! Switch!
Doesn't that look good? Tender, meaty chunks of tantalizing nutrition, soaked in
things they do with special effects these days. Did you see the one about the guy in the spaceship?
It was real. He turned into a werewolf and they shot him.
You're plastered.
Doesn't mean it wasn't real.
Hey, Ernie, put a pepper steak on for me, will you? And a hamburger for the lady.
How do you want that?
How you want it, honey?
Marsha leans against the bar and smiles softly.
Rare.
The chef throws the raw meat on the griddle and pats it down with a spatula. ITFC audio description.